The Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly will be Dennis Sosik, back from his little short hiatus of a couple of weeks, and bringing you our waiver review of the Fantasy Pros waivers, early waiver rankings. So we'll take a look at that, plus all the latest news since the Sunday action, a few of the injuries and people coming back and stuff, and the game of Monday Night Football just started, and Seattle has a 7-point lead over the Saints. Great catch and run by DK Metcalf to start the scoring. Dennis, great to have you back, man.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me back. Sorry for the hiatus, and you had to drive a little solo the first week, and thanks to Davis Peng for the second week.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Filling in for me. Appreciate that. Enough about me. Let's get to football.
Let's get to the football. I agree. First of all, let's take a look at something. Let's start off with the light stuff. Well, it's not light because Malcolm Brown is going on IR with a quad. Really, he's just an addition to the Miami. He's just depth on Miami as at this point, Dennis. It's really no big deal him leaving, but it might be interesting about who comes up in his spot to see if someone can take over that backfield. Not that Miles Gaskin's been doing okay lately, but what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and with Malcolm Brown, he's been a pain in the butt for fantasy owners for a long time, being a vulture of main running backs. You know, Gaskin has his up and downs, and I think he got the volume on Sunday, but I'm not sure if they really trust him or not. And, you know, Salvin Ahmad's there. He should get some touches there too. I don't trust that offense and offensive line, so I think we're still a lot more Tua or whoever is the quarterback after the trade deadline. And I'm not really too keen on that running game.
Right now. No, and you say in the offense in general as well, they're not really there. It's not happening there in Miami, and they're even looking towards the trade. I think they're even thinking that Deshaun Watson is in the conversation, which is something that we should actually touch on, is this Deshaun Watson thing. I haven't really been following the story about what's happening with a trade with him or what teams are interested. Do you know anything much about it, or is it?
Yeah, a lot of it's like rumors. I'm not sure even if he does get traded, does he play this year with all the legal issues that he has? I mean, yeah. Miami's been in the running, Carolina Panthers, especially now with Darnold starting to fall to the wayside and getting benched on Sunday. You know, I mean, Watson's a hell of a player, but he's also dealing with a lot of problems that I'm not sure if he's even going to see the field this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned the benching of Sam Darnold, but also the injury to Zach Wilson comes to mind as well. They brought in Flacco now because they obviously don't trust White to do the job. So they made a trade with Philadelphia, putting Minshew as the backup there in Philadelphia. And I think it's probably a proper move. I think it might help the Jets, you know, get off the carpet a little bit, because they're actually playing awful. But I don't, Flacco doesn't add a whole lot. He's a capable veteran, but he's never been an exciting quarterback to me.
He's a statue in the pocket as well. He doesn't move at all. So
no,
the offensive line is not that good. So he'd be a long season there.
Yeah. So I guess the Jets will stay on the carpet. But the thing is that you need a good half decent quarterback to at least help, you know, the downfield Jets, right?
Right.
So anyway, moving right along, Davante Adams, Thursday night game in doubt because of C-19. And because it's a Thursday night game, he might not clear in time. To be quite honest, it's more of, I know fantasy owners will be disappointed, but I think as football fan in general, because this game between Green Bay and Arizona is, it's kind of a really premier matchup. You want to see all the best players in it to make it a really good game. And I think, you know, it's not just fantasy we're losing. We're kind of losing a good game, aren't we?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it should have been a shootout with Adams and Rodgers playing pass and catch all game, and and both offenses, you know, are striving right now. It's a shame we're not going to see it, and hopefully Adams is okay. You know, with now Rodgers, what does Rodgers do with the passing game? I mean, no one really stands out when Adams is even on the field, and now without him on the field, who's gonna be the receiver that stands out? You know, Lazard, who scored the last 2 weeks, his best friend Randall Cobb, who he wanted so bad on the team, does he step up? Or they go to the running game with Aaron Jones? I'm not sure. I mean, it's probably better to keep the ball away from Kyler Murray. I mean, as much as you want Rodgers to be in a shootout, but I don't know if they have the weapons to do that.
It's pretty much a reliance on Lazard. But Lazard, I mean, Arizona's got a good defense. Lazard doesn't match up well with... I mean, Lazard does well when he's not the number one, because Lazard would do well if there was somebody to take away the attention. But Lazard being the, you know, drawing all the attention of the secondary, I don't think he's such a good option. I think probably Cobb will have the better game, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree. Aaron Jones are probably a big game.
As you mentioned, Aaron Jones. And looking forward to that Thursday night game nonetheless. Should be a good one. next in the news is, speaking of the Cardinals, Zach Ertz first came back with the Cardinals, post 66 yards and a touchdown. And the question I have for you, Dennis, is this, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this, is that we're always hearing about this thing about players, you know, they got to learn the playbook and stuff like this. He comes in there and gets 65 yards and a score. And he's had hardly any time. Is there a lot of BS about this play, learning the playbook stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, most offenses run basically the same thing. A lot more just about verbiage of, you know, the plays and, you know, what they're going to do on, you know, certain play calls. But majority of it's all the same. I mean, what he did score on was a 47-yard touchdown, which is he was wide open. And he ran for like 10 yards, but he was wide open in the middle of the field. Mm. And that offense has so many weapons there. He's going to, you know, they spread the ball around so much that, you know, Kyler Murray is just pick and choose who he wants to go to, and being there, Ertz is wide open. They picked him and he scored. I mean, he's more of a touchdown or bust now, I think, in that offense for the rest of the season.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that very big offense. You know, it's, just taking a look at, Ertz is, he's 81% owned, so there's no chance he probably get. But he is, but he is a good own. And, so he transferred well. He transferred into a far better situation, obviously, than he was getting in Philadelphia. He wanted out of there anyway.
Oh, definitely.
And, just helps, it helps everybody in fantasy. Goddard as well.
Absolutely, a little bit. I had him on a fantasy team, and yeah, he always had Ertz, you know, playing with him, and hurt his, production now with Ertz not there. You hope Goddard can step up.
Other positive stuff. Rashad Penny activated from IR, as is Michael Gallup and Jerry Jeudy. So they'll be all back. And actually, Rashad Penny is actually active for this game, although we've seen Alex Collins continue to get the early downs, at least in the early going of this game. Rashad Penny, he's on the list of waiver wires we can talk about a little bit later. But good to see Jerry. I think the best of the lot here of guys coming back is Jerry Jeudy. I think owners will be delighted to finally have him back.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that Broncos office scares me, though. Bridgewater and Locke have not been impressive this year, and it looks like they're holding up the offense, even though they have some talent. They're recording the Sutton and Noah Font there, but I worry about that, the quarterback play there. And Judy's a hell of a talent, but I think he's going to be held back by it until they get an actual quarterback there.
It's one of those things. Not all receivers are quarterback proof. But speaking of quarterback proof, you know, we were talking about Sam Darnold. DJ Moore still got a floor. He got 73 yards and on six catches, I think. So I mean, he still got in half PPR. That's roughly about 10 points or so. I mean, seeing how bad Darnold did, getting benched in the fourth quarter there. So it's for DJ Moore to come up par. It seems to be, you know, some players can overcome bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, some can, and some, you know. You know, like Robbie Anderson there, he's not producing whatsoever. He's getting plenty of targets, but he's not producing whatsoever. And DJ Moore is just impressive with that lack of passing talent there that he's still producing.
Let's talk about more bad quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. Kid's not feeling it, I don't think, yet. We talk about Matt Nagy, who's another... another issue of in the Bears organization with to do with D-19. So he might not be on the sidelines this weekend for the Bears. So
might be better for him. Is that
fair? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. But nobody's doing well. I mean, 55 yards between, 55 yards total for Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson. So, and here I talk about, and he threw like, I think, over 180 yards, I think, Justin Fields threw. And Sam Darnold threw 111. And, well, of course, they all went to DJ Moore, like he got 73 yards. But it just doesn't seem like, I think the only bright spot on the Bears is Khalil Herbert. 100 yards again. It's pretty good. I mean, a bit touchdown dependent, but, you know, at least the Bears have something.
Yeah, he's a promising rookie. I mean, he's, I mean, a sixth-round pick, he's producing. I thought with Damian Williams returning that he would take a, have a, like a little bit of a back seat to him this week, but he stepped up and he was impressive, ran for 97 yards and a touchdown. And, I'm sure that was week six. So that this would be 100 yards. Yeah, first one to rush for over 100 yards against Tampa Bay this year. And, you know, the thing that scares me, you know, David Montgomery's coming back in a couple of weeks, so that limits his thing for the rest of the season. But right now, I mean, he's like you said, he's a bright spot there. Justin Fields is having a lot of growing pains. And the question is, do you think Allen Robinson's going to get traded at the trade deadline?
That's a good question. I think if he makes enough noise, he will. I think if he's, you know, we don't know really what goes on in the background. I don't think he's happy. And also, there is the case, too, that that Mooney seems to be the number one there right now. I mean, on paper, Allen Robinson's the number one, but really, in on the field, it looks like Darnell Mooney's the number one receiver for the Bears, for what it's worth, is.
Yeah, he's getting more targets, more definitely more deep throws.
Yep.
Than Robinson. Again, Robinson's not getting much, and they're not, him and Fields have not developed the chemistry yet, so it's looking a lot worse than it probably is. But it feels there's like no time in the field, and his decision making is not very good either right now. No. The offensive line is not doing him any favors. So
he's on his back. The Tampa Bay, they just pinned their ears back and went after him. It was like the Browns. What the Browns did to him.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I just went right after him. Yeah. They didn't care about anything.
Nope.
Nothing to fear.
Nope. But one more thing that before we leave this story is when David Montgomery does come back, for people who have Khalil Herbert, is he still a hold?
Yeah, I think so. I think he niched the role. I think he wanted to get in the ball. Even as possibly a third down back if nothing else. I mean, Tariq Cohen's supposed to be coming back, but I haven't heard any good news about that yet. So I think Herbert may be taking that role over.
Yeah.
So I think he will, especially in Dynasty, I would definitely keep him. This season, I mean, they say in a few weeks November will come back, but I haven't heard any good news about him either. I mean, they say a few weeks. I've been hearing a few weeks for the last few weeks. So let's see what progresses with that. But yeah. Herbert's somebody I definitely would be holding on to.
Yeah, that's the thing is when a running back does well in their place, they don't have to rush the players back. And I think that's one of the cases. A case in point with Madison, because it was a little bit, a couple of weeks ago, it was a bit of on and off with Dalvin Cook. So they were just sort of easing Dalvin Cook back in and then Madison. But again, I guess I think you should hold Herbert like you do Madison.
Yeah, makes sense.
Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell said last week he would shake things up. I kind of wasn't expecting it during the game. I was kind of expecting it like in play calling or game planning or something like that. I wasn't expecting like this gadgetry, like all this, you know, onside kicks and fake punts.
Yeah, they try anything.
Yeah, they're just trying anything.
They're competitive.
Yeah, they were. They were. There's no question about it. They made it exciting. But the thing is, that's not kind of shaking things up, really, to me. That's kind of just letting it all hang out, sort of, in on the field. It's just, you know, kind of throwing the kitchen sink on the field, not really doing anything internally, because that's kind of when he said shake things up, I kind of thought, okay, he's going to try and do something with the team inside, but I don't know. Do you think maybe that still is the plan, Dennis, or is it just more of this gadgetry and trickiness?
Yeah. I don't see anyone on their bench is going to come up do anything impressive. So it's more of a trick plays, and especially against the Rams. I mean, the Rams are one of the top teams in the league, so they're just glad to be competitive with them in that game. Especially, you know, I don't have any faith in Goff, and I'm not sure the team does either. No. DeAndre Swift is having a great season. He's over, you know, exceeded expectations, so he's someone they can give the ball to even more now. And I think, you know, early in the season, they were just giving the ball at the end of the game instead of the beginning of the game, which didn't make any sense. But now he's getting the ball even more. Yeah, they're so difficult to watch, but I don't think you can blame Campbell right now. He's
getting
the team to at least try, you know. So, I mean, that's, they're not giving up on the team every week, so that's good to see.
No, yeah, that's right. And he's just not sticking with the same old, same old. They haven't got a win, but dang, you know what? I like the coach. Usually, you know, as guys like Nagy, you just think that, oh, he's hopeless. He just likes to stick to the same old. He sticks to the same old boring stuff. And so it's just, anyways, that's the news and commentary. It's time for us to get into, what time is it? It could be. Well, we're moving on. Yes, it's time for moving on up, and
wow, it's a blast from the past.
Yeah, so we're gonna see who we're going to move on up this week, and for me, the guy moving on up is Damian Harris. I'll talk about him. Starting to be pretty trustworthy, you know, like generally speaking, Belichick has never made any like trustworthy running backs, especially, but. I will say this, that Damian Harris, the last 2 weeks has posted 17 and 24 fantasy points in your fantasy team, two straight 100-yard games, and so not looking too bad on the on that front. And he's the only running back that doesn't seem to be getting into the doghouse here. Ramondre Stevenson apparently has fallen off, and all this. Now J.J. Taylor, I think, is now the guy who's actually, he could be moving on up in the sense of the backfield of the Patriots. But Damian Harris is he's doing a pretty good job for your fantasy teams over the past couple of weeks, and it looks like he's going to be steady on, and I think Belichick will. He doesn't like bell cow running backs, but I think he has really no choice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Harris has been pretty impressive. I mean, three consecutive games for touchdowns. You know, that game, the Patriots destroyed the Jets. I mean, it's like everyone was contributing. And that one, you know, J.J. Taylor ran two touchdowns. Brandon Bolden had six catches and chipped in with the pass receiving touchdown. Mm-hmm. Even Matt Jones, you know, had a 300-yard passing game. So, and I even think of LeGarrette Blount, but Jarvis Green Ellis even scored too somehow. So, in that game, so, I mean, everyone scored in that game. So, it's. I mean, it's good to see, and Harris has been pretty impressive the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're right. Bolden's the only guy that can vulture him, really.
And, yeah, exactly.
But apart from that, I think it really is. He's the lead guy, and he's doing pretty good. 100-yard games. It's impressive. Who's moving up for you?
And it's probably be a little Captain Obvious move, but I'm going to pick Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay.
I mean, he's been so explosive and impressive in his rookie season. The chemistry they had between him and Burrow is fantastic. And I bet no one in Cincinnati has complained that the Bengals didn't draft Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon. I mean, Chase has 754 receiving yards, which includes that 201 yards he had on Sunday. And the Bengals' impressive win over the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And he's an easy favorite for rookie of the year. And if he continues to dominate, I think he should get some MVP points as well.
Just incredible performance, 200 yards. That's just plain impressive. And I look at Higgins. Higgins got like, what, 15 targets, and he just couldn't do anything with them. I mean, granted, some of the targets were the tough throws. I mean, but the, you know, the money shots were going to Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. And Chase is just incredible. The chemistry, like you say, it's right there, that LSU thing going on.
Right.
So, Chase is definitely, he's in the elites now, I think. He's going to easily finish the top 10 of wide receivers this year.
Right, top five.
Yeah.
Because he's going, you know, he's amazing.
Okay. Danger! Uh-oh, panic time. Who's your panic player? Who are you ready to press the
panic button? I'm really worried about Antonio Gibson. I mean, he's playing with the hairline chin fracture, and it's really diminished his fantasy production. He's not rushed for more than 70 yards since week one, and I'm aware of his guts being out there, but he's no longer, you know, capable of being RB1 for you, and it's hard to get him in your lineup unless he falls into the end zone.
Yeah, I'm dropping him down to RB26 this week, all the way down from 16 to 26. I'm dropping him 10 places this week. I just had enough. I can't. You just can't sustain that level. I mean, no. Over the he's had finishes of like, I mean, he had a good. Up until week five, he was doing okay, but the last 2 weeks, RB45 and RB32 finishes, yeah, it's just not cutting it. And and he still doesn't have a 100-yard game. He's had 100-yard games with the, if you just count total scrimmage yards, but on the ground, he's only got his best finish is 90 yards, and that was way back in week one, and he still finished only RB25 that week. He didn't score a touchdown. So
disappointing.
Yeah, he's and a tough matchup coming up against Denver next week, and then they have their bye. So maybe things will turn around after the bye. But like you say, he is. I completely agree. He's a bit of a worry. I was going to put him in my spot, but I'm putting Mike Davis of the Atlanta Falcons in. He's, I've got him the rest of the season at RB33. He hasn't had a big week at all. His best fantasy point finish is 11 points back in week 5 against the Jets. He had one fantasy point. Cordarrelle Patterson is the RB1 there. And Mike Davis is just back basically at this point.
Yeah, he's been a huge disappointment. I thought he was going to be the bell cow back there, but yeah, like you said, Cordarrelle Patterson is not the RB1 there, and Davis should be dropped in our leagues. He's not going to do it for us. Now he's hurt now, so even add to that, and I think Patterson's just taken over the backfield there.
Now that I was not aware about his about an injury here.
Yeah, he left late in the game. He left. I don't know if it was his foot. I think it was his foot or something he left.
Right.
I'll check it out.
He didn't get any passing yards or anything. Just 4 carries for 10 yards. It's just, that's backup quarter. That's backup running back. That's, you know, like I say, relief back work. He's going down. I have him at RB33, but he's going to be going down a little further. I haven't decided how far down I'm going to drop him on the rest of the season. But he is definitely heading down. But,
like I said, he limped off the field at the end of the game. So no updates as far as I know.
Yeah, but as you say, borderline droppable, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, waiver wire stuff. Okay, now we get to talk about the waiver wire, like the fantasy pros, and critique the fantasy pros' choice feature, a running back each, a wide receiver each, and a tight end each. Plus, we talk about it in general. But I will start, and I'll start with, okay, the injury to Miles Sanders. Apparently, the first report I've got is that Miles Sanders, it's not a bad ankle sprain, but it's going to be week to week. So everybody's rushing out to get Kenneth Gainwell, which is fine because he's going to get a little more work. But I think the guy to actually own, really, is Boston Scott. Austin Scott's a good player, and he also does some pass catching out of the backfield. But so I don't see that Kenneth Gainwell really owns the backfield. In fact, I think you'll see Boston Scott first on the field when Philadelphia play. Not sure exactly who they play first. Who are they playing next week? They are playing. That's right. They're playing Detroit. Now it's a good matchup. Miles Sanders won't be playing it. So I think it's a good one for, I think everybody's picking up Kenneth Gainwell because of, especially if you're in PPR or half PPR formats, Kenneth Gainwell is, I think that's why he's getting the upper hand on the waiver wire, grab choices. So, what's your choice? Who do you like? Who would you rather pick up?
Yeah, I'd rather have Kenneth Gainwell. I think he's going to be the player to own, especially in PPR leagues. You know, Scott had that, garbage TB. At the end of the game, after Sanders was forced to leave, and it was mostly out in garbage time. So I really have Gainwell.
Yeah, Gainwell scored his touchdown while Miles Sanders was still in the game. And to be honest, you know, Miles Sanders was kind of, you know, a bit of a kind of a boring draft pick. You know,
disappointing.
Yes, and it's not been really all that great. Moving right along. You've got I think we touched on Brandon Bolden a bit, but you've got Brandon Bolden as your waiver wire selection. He's a RB5 in Fantasy Pros. Yeah, sorry.
No problem. Sorry, Roger. Yeah, I mean, I think he's taking over that James White role as that pass catching pattern in New England. I mean, tied for the most targets on the team Sunday, and I think he'd be, you know, at worst a nice bye week fill-in for fantasy managers. So, you know, even with Harris, you know, having, you know, the bell cow action there, I think Bolden's still someone you could add in PPR leagues.
Yeah. Ravens are off this week. Who's the other team that's off this week?
Rams, I think.
No, is it?
Maybe you're looking.
It's going stuff it up. Yeah, no, it's the Raiders. Raiders and Ravens.
Oh, see what happens.
Yeah, so that's all right. Don't forget these things. Let's move on to wide receiver. We kind of covered Brandon Bolden quite a bit. So let's move on to wide receivers. Who you got for, who do you like out of the list there?
Yeah, speaking of Ravens, I love to get Rashad Bateman. You know, in two games, he's, he has 7 grabs for 109 yards. Every single one of his catches has gone for a first down. And he's seen his increase in offensive snaps with 63% of snaps on Sunday. Yeah, but really no running game to speak of. Jackson now has another weapon in Bateman. I want a piece of that.
Yeah, and, you know, picking a guy who's on, like, on a bye week, it's sort of a quiet way to pick up guys who are on, like, I mean, if you can afford to, unless you don't get caught up, unless you need somebody like Gainwell or Boston Scott. I mean, you know, you can kind of, you know, sneak up the middle and get a guy like Rashad Bateman. Apparently, though, Rashad Bateman, Pat Fitzmaurice of Fantasy Pros says Bateman's NFL debut in Week 6 was a mixed bag, and which it kind of was. But he picked up in Week 7 against Cincinnati, 80 yards on 3 catches, 6 targets, 8 fantasy points. You know, after the bye, it could turn up, and there's some good matchups ahead with Minnesota, Miami, and Chicago. So I like that pick, and if you can afford to, like, look at those guys who are on bye week to scoop them up.
Some fantasy managers also have to drop those kind of players, you know, to fill their rosters up. So they start dropping like Bateman or, you know, the Ravens, you know, grab them up while they're on bye, stash them.
Coming off a bye, and we'll be back in action for Week 8, is Laviska Shenault, a guy that I really like. He was up. I tried to trade Corey Davis. I put up Corey Davis for Laviska Shenault, and I got turned down. Kind of expectedly, but
yeah,
he's good. Yeah, he's a good. I was worth a try.
Doesn't hurt to try.
Joe put him on the block. You know, Joe, our fearless leader of the pack here. He put him on the trading block, and I offered him Corey Davis. He turned it down almost like in seconds.
Was it impressive?
What can I do? How do I get rid of Corey Davis? I don't want to just drop him. I can't get anything for Corey Davis.
That's surprising. Yeah, I'm not even. I was beginning of the year. I was not really high. Looking forward to seeing Shenault in that offense, but yeah, you know, now I'm so disappointed in them. I don't know if I would, you know, try to continue that love or not. I mean, even with now Shark out for the season, I think, you know, Marvin Jones is the guy to have there. Shenault's kind of looking on the outside looking in right now.
Well, he's not really doing a whole lot. I mean, like before the bye week, he was WR59 and WR39. I don't know. I think he's a good football player, and I like good players. So I just think he's a good football player. And when you think a guy's a good football player, and he's not like, okay, 6 fantasy points and 8 fantasy points in consecutive weeks doesn't sound really great. But when a player is sort of like passing the eye test for you, Go ahead and get him. If a guy catches your eye, folks, don't hesitate to get him, because he's probably, if you're a football smart person, a guy like Laviska Shenault is a good pickup. And the fantasy pros, and I completely agree with him being WR2 on the wide receiver list. Week of fantasy pros, Dennis, who do you got? Oh, you already did it. I guess we're going on the tight ends. Oh, it's my turn. Mo'Ally Cox. Mo'Ally Cox is the tight end. Scored a touchdown, as I made a suggestion in my blurb view to pick him up because Darren Waller was out, and it turned out to be a treat because Mo'Ally Cox caught the first touchdown of the game. And it was just horrible weather conditions.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
And Mo'Ally Cox came up, came up trumps. I really think he's a good player. I don't know what you think, Dennis, but I think the Colts are getting better slowly but surely.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Wentz is like he's getting back to his old, we used to play with the Eagles, and Frank Reich is, making the play calls there. And they had a massive running attack there with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he's a freaking beast.
Yeah.
And Alec Cox, I mean, he's great as a red zone favorite, for Wentz. And I mean, he's touchdown dependent in that offense, but still, I mean, that's what he does. So I really want out of 10 and score a touchdown. So,
yep.
He's a definitely good pickup. I mean, it's almost similar to the player that I'm going to mention, shortly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Touchdown dependent in the offense that scores. That's what you want,
Yep.
My guy is, CJ who's from the Bengals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he catches the ball. He scored, he scored touchdowns recently, and he's now the third option over Tyler Boyd in that offense, which is kind of scary. After Chase and Higgins, you're looking at Uzama for big plays that he's made in the last couple of weeks.
Yep. You're right. A similar type of guy to Mo'Ally Cox. You're kind of expecting a touchdown, but they're going to get those. Uzama is actually, it was a long touchdown run too from Uzama too. He's got some wheels, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He has two big plays he had. I mean, he got three targets, but he had two touchdowns and there were big plays in that game and turned the tide for them. So it's good to see.
I would take him over the TE1. The Fantasy Pros rankers, waiver rankers, have Robert Tonyan at first.
I want no part of him.
No, I don't really want a part of him, but maybe for this game, he could be an extra option because of the status of Devontae Adams, depending.
Maybe, but it was just the 1 week thing, maybe. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's streamable. Like, I think that's probably what these rankers think of is, in streamable sense. Like, and we usually talk about some quarterbacks. The quarterback list is, it's kind of like not good. I think the best guy here, I think Mac Jones should be number one. He had his first 300-yard game, this weekend against the Jets.
He's getting better and better.
Yeah, I think he's at QB4. So if you're streaming QBs maybe if you've got Derek Carr and you've been using Derek Carr as your QB1 this week, or Lamar Jackson being out, you can, and all the good quarterbacks are taking, you can take Mac Jones. You can stick Mac Jones in there, I think.
I'm even thinking of, grabbing Daniel Jones. And he has a matchup against the Chiefs this week, and the Chiefs defense is horrendous. I mean, they can't stop anyone. So,
boy, that's
a Jones has not been impressive. I mean, he has up and down games. Hopefully, maybe he'll get some of his receivers back this week. But, I take the chances with Daniel Jones too. So, either one of those quarterbacks, if you're looking, for someone, to get you by a week, I think any of the two Jones, quarterbacks would be good to go with.
Yeah. Chiefs are having a problem winning games. They're behind everybody. They're even behind Denver.
Yeah.
Go figure. But if we're picking up people, we got to drop people, Dennis, sadly. So so we got to drop somebody. Who are you dropping?
Robbie Anderson. He's getting a lot of targets, but he's not producing. And now with Sam Darnold, his former teammate, the Jets, now struggling as well and being benched and possibly being replaced by P.J. Walker this week. And who knows what's going to happen the rest of the season. Maybe Watson gives there. I'm done with Robbie Anderson.
I don't have any problem with that. And I think we probably mentioned this guy, but I still think he's got to be dropped. I can't see him coming up, Dennis. It's Brandon Ayuk. He's just not, he's not getting any better. People are hanging on to him, and I don't know why. It's time. I mean, we've got the last three games, we've got WR-77, WR-77, WR-75. One target against the Colts. One target. All the rest of everything's going to Deebo Samuel, and Kittle comes back. Well, Kittle isn't coming back, is he? So it's just the targets just aren't there. I mean, you know, 2, 6, 3, 4, 1. I'm looking here, like there's no targets in the first game. Sorry, that was my water bottle.
He looks horrendous. I mean, did you see the play yet in that kickoff? Just kicking the ball with like a football follies.
Yes.
It was horrible. My God. I was like, what is he doing? They're booing him at stadium now.
Yes.
The fans are booing him, and he's just, now it's in his head. He's just not someone you want to roster.
So I think this is probably the second time that we mentioned him. You probably mentioned him before, but all right, come on, people. Let's get rid of this guy. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, spec ads. I like spec ads. And for me, with all the Giants injuries and a little bright spot, this guy used to play with the 49ers. And he was kind of like Brandon Ayuk in a way. Because he couldn't produce anything on the 49ers, but he goes to the Giants and he did something. Dante Pettis. And, considering all the injuries they got, he got a touchdown and I don't think you rush out and get him, but I don't know. You don't do badly if you got room, if you're thinking, well, I got a spot. Who can I put on here? I think you could put Dante Pettis in there. Why not? If you've got, if you've got nothing else to do. What do you think of Dante Pettis?
Yeah, he's not a kind of a surprising, player to put out there, but he's produced the last two games with 10 catches. So, and with that wide receiver room and the Giants not playing, he's been stepping up in that role. So it's good to see him, come back after being kind of, thrown out of San Francisco, more or less. But he's been producing. I mean, and I wonder what's going to happen when the receivers do get back in New York. But as a spec ad, as like the third receiver, maybe in a PPR, not a bad selection.
No, not bad. I mean, but you're going to get Tony and Galladay back pretty soon, I guess. I think, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows over there?
Shepard is out again, I think.
Yeah, he was almost close to coming back last week, but then they held him out the last second. So
and, maybe we'll see him again. But I would prefer Pettis over Ross easily.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, he's kind of he's a spec ad, like very much on the fringe of the radar. Who you got? Not exactly fringe of the radar guy,
He's scored the last couple, back-to-back games. Alan Lazard is not widely owned. And with Devontae Adams out on Thursday, probably in a high-scoring matchup, I think I'm going with Alan Lazard there. I mean, him, his sneaky ad, along with Randall Cobb, I think those two can produce for you on Thursday night.
Yeah, just like a streaming option. Yeah, Alan Lazard, definitely, especially with the news coming out. Just taking a look at a few of the other names here that are on the list here, just going to pick out a couple here. This Jamal Agnew, he's WR16 for the plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He actually got his fame from that long touchdown from a missed kick that was going to be like the guy going for the Arizona guy going for a 68-yard field goal, and he ran it back for a touchdown. That was Agnew. And as a reward, he's getting some looks in the on offense. So that's kind of interesting that he would be on this list.
Right. I didn't see no reason to grab him. I mean, there's some kind of interesting players. Ben Jefferson of the Rams, he's been producing the last couple of weeks. And KJ Osborne had that nice touchdown to the game for his bye week.
Ben Jefferson's a good guy to have on your bench, I think.
Yeah, I like him. Brian Edwards, he's hit or miss.
So. He's hit or miss. Yeah, similar kind of guy. I guess you can say that about Slayton, I suppose, too.
Right. We'll see. And I can't believe they had Peyton Barber back on here again. I mean, with Jacobs hurt, possibly they put Peyton Barber as a running back 8 to pick up. I just hate to keep saying I don't want to take him, but he did produce when he was on the field those couple of times. So
yeah,
I still don't want him.
Yeah, now that Kenyon Drake is sort of, they're starting to use him again. Kenyon Drake is he's he's becoming okay, but I just have a hard time. It's so hard to trust. But the interesting guy, but a guy that you should have, and because he could get traded to a good situation, is Marlon Mack. You keep talking about him getting on the trade block. In fact, the Saints who are playing today might pick him. I thought it would be a bad spot.
A
good spot might be the Chiefs because they're really needing something.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, I think he'll get traded. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Yeah, the trade deadline is different in the NFL, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mac and maybe Al Robinson gets traded. I just didn't see where he goes.
Yeah. So that about wraps it up for the show. Dennis, it's great to have you back, man. And we'll look forward to another week next week to going through our waiver wires and whatnot. And how you doing in your leagues? How did you do during this bad bye week?
It was rough. Yeah, a couple of my leagues were, I got destroyed because I had no one left. And actually, last night's game with the touchdown of Michael Pittman actually won me a game. That's the only game I won all weekend, which is sad. But that was a rough week. How are the fantasy guys treating you?
I got destroyed. Terrible. It was rough. Rough. Went up against.
That's rough.
It was AJ Brown that really put the knife in. My opponent had AJ Brown, and that just the knife. He had a blowout good at that game. Okay. Really killed it. So, anyways, moving forward, we always, you know, fantasy has such a short memory. So, anyways, thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. Be sure to check out Dennis on Wednesday. He has stocked up and stocked down. So, some of the stuff we're talking about will probably be included in his article. And for me, I do the rest of the season that comes out on Thursday and, of course, on Friday night. Don't forget to check out Blurview every game. Do it in blurb format so it's really quick so you'll be able to, you know, don't waste your time. Get quick rundowns of the games coming up on the weekend and all sorts of different stuff. So be sure to check out our articles there and see us listen to us next week on the Fantasy Edge. Take care, everybody. And that's the show.